to start the day. Nico and Cheyenne.
Camel Country 107.9.
Verizon is ripping me off. They were ripping me off.
They were.
Let's past tense that okay. Right now. Because your boy took charge of the situation.
How did you take charge with a mega company like Verizon?
Well, my bill was $180 previously.
Oof.
And then I got two new phones.
Mm-hmm.
I paid off the phones. They had a promotion going on where if you trade in your phones, we'll give you the credit so that you won't have to pay for the new phones.
Okay.
Okay, so basically, I started from scratch. And the guy told me in the store, hey, your bill's going to be about $185 again.
That's
like it may increase by a couple dollars.
Okay.
I get a bill of $235.
That is a significant difference.
Yeah, it was almost like $50 to $60 increase.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, I called the customer service representative, who was very delightful at first.
Okay.
I'm telling you, if there was a customer service guy that talked me off a ledge, this was the man.
Ooh.
Because I came in, guns a-blazing.
I would have too. I do not like it when my bills turn out differently than what they're supposed to be.
I mean,
that's my money.
Almost $60 more a month.
That's wild.
I did not sign on the dotted line for that.
Right.
So I came in a little hot, and like I said, he was not only a great customer service representative, he was also a great therapist.
Oh, love that.
Because he was immediately like, sir, we're going to figure this out. You and me together right now.
Really?
We're on the phone and we're in this moment.
That's my kind of customer service.
I'm going to help you through this. And I was like, God bless you, my son. Let's do this. So he was like, you've been a Verizon Wireless customer for over 13 years now.
Love that.
And I was like, yes, I have been. And he goes, that should mean something. And I said, what the customer loyalty is happening right now? I said, you're absolutely right.
It should mean something.
That should mean something.
Wow.
So he goes, I see what you're saying. I don't know how they wrote up this bill, but they're charging you for these odd extra charges. And I want to deep dive back in. And just give me a minute. I'll be right back and see what I can come up with. Doom, 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 doom. Puts me on hold.
Yeah.
Comes back and says, oh, okay. I see what's happening here. He goes, you know what? Some of these charges are unnecessary. I was like, wait a second. If I had not called this guy, I would have been paying the $60 extra.
Absolutely. Just willy-nilly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then he says this, which everybody wants to hear when you're talking to customer service.
Uh-huh.
Let me talk to my manager and see if we can come down a little bit more.
What?
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 You're a loyal customer. You haven't missed a payment in 13 years. Hey, we'd be happy to help you out. We're going to knock it back down to... What was that number you agreed with the agent at the store? I was like, 100... 100... 100 and... 180. Like, I felt like I needed to be honest at that point, which I probably could have gone, 150?
Yeah.
And see if that works.
You're right.
But he was like, yeah, 180. Yeah, we're gonna discount a couple things and we'll knock it down to 180 if that's what you guys agreed on. Boom!
What?
Boom!
That's insane.
Just like that, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't ask, you don't get anything.
Yeah, but also asking makes me very uncomfortable.
I know.
Very uncomfortable.
It feels a little beggy.
I feel like I would have been like, will you marry me? Because I've never felt more like secure in a relationship than I do right now.
Oh, I did ask him to marry me.
Yeah?
And we are getting married in
a week. I love this for you. I'm so excited.
But man, I'll tell you what, after that, I will ask for discounts. I will always be kind, very helpful if they need anything. I'll never be snobby
or
disrespectful towards a customer service agent.
Customer service lines are really hard because even when you come in hot, like it's not their fault.
Exactly.
But they're the only person who can help you.
And it's not their company.
No. So, I will tell you, I have ripped some customer service people apart.
Yeah.
Multiple times. But I also worked for Costco.com and their customer service line, so I know a lot of capabilities that you have.
Oh.
And when you're not doing something, it really bothers me.
Yeah.
But, and then again, it's, you know, I don't know. I'll rip someone apart. I got no issue with it.
Don't be working customer service on the other end of Cheyenne. Yeah. That's all we're saying.
As long as we're on good terms, it's fine.
I want to hear from the Camel Nation and their customer service experiences, how it's worked out for you. 602-894-5653. You can call us or text us. I don't know if it's my charm that comes off naturally over the phone with customer service representatives, but lately I've been batting 1,000, Cheyenne.
You're killing it.
I've been absolutely crushing the discount game, and I will ask anybody for a discount.
I love this for you. I, however, will not because it makes me very uncomfortable.
I have no shame. Leslie and Chandler's on the phone. Good morning.
Morning, y'all.
Morning.
Do you think I'm being too much or just enough?
No, here's the thing. I work in customer service.
Oh.
Bless you.
Can I get a discount?
If you're nice.
Oh.
But that really is the trick. Honestly, if you are nice, if you're polite, if you just ask, listen, if I have the discount available, I will absolutely give you the discount. 100% of the time.
Wow.
See that?
I still feel uncomfortable.
No.
Yes.
No.
If you don't ask, then nothing will ever happen.
You're absolutely right. That doesn't mean exactly. I'm not uncomfortable.
It's the people that are mean, that are entitled, they're having a bad day and they want to take it out on me.
Oh, yeah.
If they're going to ask for a discount, I'm not going to give it to them unless it is mandatory, or I'm not even going to offer it.
Yeah.
Why would I? You're being mean. I don't have to.
People think they need to take the route of like, I'm the customer and you owe me something.
With like your nose in the air. I don't like that.
Yeah. Nah. I'd be like, nope. I owe you nothing, homie.
Absolutely nothing.
This is not even my company. So guess what?
Exactly. It's not my company, but it is my discount to give. So just be nice and I'll give it to you.
Wow. All right, so now the question everybody's wondering is, what company do you work for?
Oh, just call a bunch of numbers and eventually you'll get me.
Okay, we're being anonymous. I get it.
Some good, mostly bad. Nico breaks the news.
Camel Country 107.9.
David reached out to me, Cheyenne, and he said, my wife, Leslie, surprised me last night.
Oh, I love that. I love a good surprise. That's a lie. I hate surprises.
And I'm reading the message right here. I think I know what he means by a nice little surprise. But we got to call his wife, Leslie, right now.
Okay.
Let's break some news.
All right.
Hello.
Hi, is this Leslie?
Yes, who is this?
Hi, Leslie. It's Nico from Nico Breaks the News.
I'm sorry. I don't know you.
Yeah.
What is
Let me explain.
Nico.
I'm Nico. I break news every day to people who have delivered news to me to deliver then to you. I am, in essence, a messenger.
Okay.
I have news from your husband, David.
Oh.
He wanted me to tell you thank you for the delightful surprise dessert last night.
Okay.
He said it was very unexpected. It was an unexpected treat. So that's kind of you.
Okay.
And then he also went on to say he would appreciate your sweet treats more often.
Okay. I'm sorry, what? He called you?
He reached out to me, Leslie. It's Nico and Cheyenne from Camel Country 107.9. I want to know what the dessert is and what are the sweet treats?
I don't think you want to know what the sweet treats are.
I think I do. Sneeze once if he's actually talking about real dessert. Sneeze twice if he's actually talking about something other than real dessert.
I think her lack of sneezes should answer your question.
Or give me a lack of sneezes for all of the above.
I love this for you and your husband.
I mean, thank you.
Oh, man. Someone's blushing right through the phone. I can feel it. Leslie, tell your husband he is a great American hero. However, he found a way to get sweet treats and dessert that was a surprise, no less. You know what? Hats off to him.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it for the both of them.
Okay.
Well, as he said, he would like it more often. So enjoy that.
That sounds like a win-win-win-win for everybody involved.
Nico breaks the news. Mornings at 6:15 and 8:15.
On Camel Country 107.9.
It's Nico and Cheyenne. Morning, y'all.
Morning.
Sorry to do this. Once again, this is a lowbrow show. This is This is what you should expect from Nico and Cheyenne. I have to bring it up just because when my friend asked me this one simple question, I had to scratch my head and think about it.
It is a very peculiar question.
He said, hey, what do you think you do more of? Do you think that when you go to the bathroom, on the toilet, potty, do you do it more often with or without your shoes on?
I've never thought about this until you asked the question.
Thought about this.
Why would you think about this?
I have no idea. I think he was doing a research study for his thesis.
I don't know.
I feel
like he was. You wonder what I feel like? I feel like he went to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And never takes his shoes off. But this one particular time, he decided to take his shoes off, and he went, huh.
Right?
Like, that's got to be it.
What is your statistic? What's your percentage? On versus off?
On average,
yeah,
they're on.
Okay, so would you say you're like 75 on, 25 off?
I would say 60-40.
Okay.
Yeah, I think 60-40.
I am a heavy shoes onner.
Yeah.
But it's not because I'm always away from my home toilet.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm at home, for the most part, I'm not wearing shoes around the house.
My shoes are off.
But my timing is not necessarily when I'm at home. So I'm going to go like 80 on, 20 off.
I dated a guy about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And Abe will remember this guy. You remember the like 55-year-old guy that I dated?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So I dated this guy who worked in a hospital.
Uh-huh.
He had to wear scrubs every day. When he would go to the bathroom, he got fully undressed.
Oh, hell.
Like naked?
Naked. Full on naked. Whoa. Like, he would take his
scrubs off. That's some childhood trauma or something.
I don't know. He would take his scrubs off and fold them. He would fold them and set them on the counter.
Maybe he was like one of these people that's like super grossed out and like germaphobe.
Nope, because he did it at home too.
And
it,
he didn't want like the particles around his clothes.
If he's around patients and stuff, he probably didn't want
to. No, guys, he did it at home too.
Oh.
Every time he went to the bathroom, he would get fully undressed, buck naked.
That is wild.
It was crazy.
He'd be like, hold on, I just got done pooping, so now I got to get dressed.
Yes. I remember the first, he sent me a picture from the bathroom of like him, like you can see him sitting, but like he was clearly on the toilet.
Yeah.
And it was a picture of his clothes neatly folded on the counter.
Okay, so my boy continued with his research study, and he found something out about one of our friends.
Tell me.
That we did not know, because it's so weird and crazy. One of our friends, Christian, he asked him. He was the same thing. Like, I don't know why I'm asking my boys this. I just kind of want to figure out if I'm a weirdo. So Christian, every time he goes to the restroom and does a potty on the toilet, he not only takes his shoes off, he has to take his shoes off, but he will then put his feet on top of his shoes.
I mean, that makes so much sense if you're in a public bathroom.
Well, he will
keep them on. Then.
He has foot holders.
So like why take them off?
I don't know. He's got to take his shoes
off.
Maybe
he just needs his toes need to breathe. He's got to stretch them out.
He has a little tootsie holder.
His little tootsie
while he's pooping.
Nico and Cheyenne.
Camel Country 107.9.
Good morning, Camel Nation congregation. It's time to get up on your feet. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Woo.
Amen. Can I get an amen?
Now that we're working in a new building, Cheyenne, I have found a new cheap gas station that's close by.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Please share.
I'll let you in on the secret. Okay. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Amen. Bill in Avondale, what do you need an amen for this morning?
I'm just like a terrible public speaker. Like, the fact that I'm even calling you guys is kind of a lot for me. But okay. I gave this killer presentation at work the other day.
Ooh.
And like, people stood up and clapped.
Oh.
And it was great. I really crushed this thing. We're going to like lock this new client. And I really went outside of my comfort zone. I'm very proud of myself. So can I get an amen?
Amen. Killing it at the presentation, Bill. Good job, man.
And if you ever need a guest speaker, Cheyenne is willing to help.
I am now a keynote speaker, so I've got your back if you need tips, tricks, or just a helping hand.
There you go. No matter how big, how small, we want to hear from you guys.
That's why we do Can I Get an Amen? Because we want to celebrate with you guys just as much as you want to be celebrated.
602-894-5653. Debbie and Mesa, you're call number 8. Congratulations.
Yeah, Debbie.
Woo! I'm excited.
We do it every day at 7:30. Cheyenne, tell us what Debbie could win.
If she can guess the secret sound, she'll win 4 3-day, one park per day tickets into Disneyland, along with a 2-night stay at one of their Disneyland resorts. And she's going to get some parking.
Ooh, all right. Are you ready to guess the secret sound?
I am.
Camel Country 107.9.
The Secret Sound.
Presented by ProSkill Services.
All right, here we go. Debbie Mesa, you got the clues. You've heard the guesses. And now it's time to shine and guess the secret sound. Here it is.
All right, Debbie, what do you think that secret sound is?
It sounds like when I pull up next to a truck when my windows are down on the 202.
Ooh.
A truck on the 202.
Specifically.
That is on so the specific.
we'll just say that, yeah, her guess is a truck maybe like on the freeway.
Like idling. I feel like a truck idling.
But also, why are trucks stopped on the 202?
Have you been on the 202?
Debbie, what's going on?
No, that's not the secret sound.
Sorry.
Oh, nice try, though.
Thank you so much for
maybe
listening.
Next time.
And keep listening out for those clues, because we got another one coming up at 5 o'clock with Matt, Gabe, and Captain Ron. Good luck, Debbie.
Thank you.
It's a big day for you, Cheyenne.
I love it when things that I love pay off in the end, and this is one of those things that's definitely going to pay off.
So you and your son absolutely love baking challenge shows.
I'm obsessed. Easton's obsessed. It's literally how we relax in the afternoon.
You were watching one and you realized
that this kid is from Surprise, Arizona.
And we got him on the phone this morning.
I'm so excited. I'm geeking out because
right, so
I'm
what
obsessed.
What show is he from?
So he's been on 3. Holiday Baking Championship, Halloween Baking Championship, and then Holiday Wars.
You know him from those shows. His name is Aaron Davis. He lives right here in the Valley. He works at Chateau Lux. He's the head pastry chef there. And we got him on the phone. And to me, to be a baker, you kind of got to be like a little bit of a loony. Like, there's a science behind it that I cannot follow along. My brain would just explode.
Yeah, I tell people that all the time. To survive in this industry, you have to have a little bit of the right kind of crazy in you.
I love that.
I always say that it's one of the most rewarding things that I've ever done in my life, just because I'm so passionate about food, and it's kind of how I've always shared myself with people or show people how much I care about them. But it is also one of the most brutal industries in the world. You work a lot of long hours. You're on your feet. It's hot in the kitchen. You know, you're cutting yourself. You're burning yourself. It's very high stress. So you have to really be passionate about what you do to survive in this industry.
How do you not eat all the things that you make all the time? Because I have a sweet tooth. How do you not eat it all?
So your question is, why isn't Aaron 500 pounds?
Yes!
The thing for me is because I'm always surrounded by it, it's not as alluring to eat a bunch of it.
That's valid.
And especially in my day-to-day life, I have to try things throughout my shift as we work on things, as we test recipes, as, you know, quality checking before things go out for the clients. So it makes it a lot easier not to eat a whole bunch.
So let's talk about how close you've come, Aaron. Holiday Baking Championship Season 9 finalist. Holiday Wars semifinalist. Halloween Baking Championship Season 10 finalist. When are we taking home the crown?
You know, people always say third time's the charm. So,
all right.
Remember back.
Well, what do we got to do? Hit up the producers to get you on the show again?
Because
I will start making those phone calls.
The nice thing that I found about being in the Food Network circuit is once your name is in there, once you've done it once, as long as they've had a good experience working with you, you know, you're easy to work with, you're pleasant on set, and you have a good personality, it's easier to get recast on shows.
Yeah.
They're definitely very stressful things to be involved in.
Yeah.
For me, it's kind of like a mini vacation, just because it's not the same as my day-to-day baking life. But a lot of people are super excited when they get cast, but then they get into that kitchen and they don't realize there are 20 cameramen and you're sharing ovens with 11 people that you don't know, and you're sharing the pantry with those people, and there's a time crunch, and you're presenting to the chefs that you've watched and looked up to for parts of your career, or in my case, you know, my entire life.
Right.
And
then it's also going to be nationally broadcast. So there are so many different things that add pressure to the situation.
You're stressing me out right now, Aaron.
Aaron, what do you have? What do you have to say to the people who are like sitting at home watching like these baking championship shows? Like my mother, and she goes, "I could do that."
So most of those people, then I look at them, then go do it.
Yeah,
I love that. Okay, do it then.
And Aaron just described how hard it is too, with all the TV cameras, the pressure, working with 11 other people. Yeah, you try it. You try it, bud.
Yeah.
It's like when people are like, "Oh, you just talk on the radio? I can talk. I talk right now. I'm talking." I'm like, yeah, well, it's a little bit of a different situation when you're speaking to 500,000 people at one time.
After I got cast on my first show, I think everybody's first instinct is, okay, you know, I got to go watch a bunch of this now so I know what I'm getting into. And you're still in the mindset of a viewer when you do that.
Right.
Like, I was watching a season and I was like, this person's been to the bottom three for the past three episodes. I don't understand how they're on the show. They're doing consistently bad. And then you go do it, you're like, wow, now I'm the for thinking that.
True.
I have had those thoughts many of times while watching baking championships.
Exactly. You go through it yourself and you're like, wow, I'm so terrible for having thought that because now I have the foresight of what goes into producing the show.
Aaron, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Oh, yeah. And if you're at the Chateau Lux, Aaron is their pastry lead. So he's hooking up all the pastries over there. If you're there for an event, make sure you enjoy some of the delicacies and bakeries.
And you can follow him on Instagram at Chef A.E. Davis.
Yep.
Well, thank you. And if you get on Food Network, any challenges again, we're definitely going to watch and support you.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
It's Nico and Cheyenne on Camel Country. Morning, y'all.
Morning.
So, Cheyenne, you found out something about yourself that you did not know.
So, I did a 23andMe.
Mm-hmm.
And now I had done a 23andMe a little while ago. Like it was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And when I had originally looked at it, there was a lot of things on there.
Right.
Okay. And then something, I can't remember what we were talking about last week, but it got brought up and I was like, you know, let me log back in because I don't remember what it said.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I don't know if they've done updates to like their research and what they're finding, like genetic, I don't know. But it was so much more definitive this time and it shocked me as to what it said.
What was
okay?
It?
Okay, well, I'll just tell you this. I'm 99% European.
Oh.
99.9% European.
Okay.
Okay.
Dang.
So there's that. But this was the part that was crazy. I knew that I was German because my last name, which is Schrank, is German.
Your maiden last name.
My maiden last name is Schrank. Yes. It is German for cupboard maker.
Oh.
Okay.
Hello, cupboard maker.
It is a shortened version, but it's Schrank. Okay. It's German. What I didn't know is that I am 60% German.
Ooh.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
32% British and Irish.
Okay.
And then I'm like a little bit of Eastern European and then
Ashkenazi.
Ashkenazi, Jewish.
Jewish.
That's like 0.2%.
Shalom.
Not very much.
Shalom, my sister. So,
yeah,
60% German.
I'm 60% German. And you want to know what sucks about that?
You probably have like family in Germany.
I know. That's what I was going to say. What sucks about that is that I don't know any of my family.
There may
outside
be some,
of my grandpa, I know no one.
There may be some surviving like long distance relatives, like distant cousins. And you could have a whole Wunderbar
I know,
village.
I so badly want to know where I come from. But like my family doesn't know each other. Like they hate each other.
That's wild. If I tried to do the 23andMe and it didn't come up 100% Greek, my dad would not only jump off a bridge, he would kick me out of the family and say I'm a liar.
It's not happening.
100%.
That's crazy.
That's the 100% in my 23andMe. If it does not say Greek, 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 my dad would be like, no way, it's wrong. Nico, get rid of it.
Now I'm kind of curious. I'm kind of curious, and I kind of want you to do a 23andMe.
I've always been curious, but for some reason, like whether it was Ancestry.com or whatever, I never did, maybe I was always waiting for like a Black Friday sale. I don't know. But I never did. I never pulled the trigger out. Yeah. Because you don't want to like pay full price for that.
They're expensive. Actually, I got my 23andMe as a birthday present from a friend. So
I didn't care that much because I'm like, I'm Greek.
I'm curious.
And that's what it's going to show.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
I'm Greek.
Abe, what are you? Have you got a 23andMe?
Coming out of my body.
Yeah, I'm like 60% Irish.
That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense.
There you go.
So we got Greek. We got the German.
The German.
The German. And then we've got Irish. I can't do an Irish accent, and I wasn't going to try.
That was okay.
That's a lot of ethnicity in this room.
Watch, like, my ancestors are a bunch of, like, heathens. Oh, my last name is Petru. The Petrus. Oh, yeah, they're real pains in the butt.
You're like the hooligans of your, like, little village. Like,
what if half of them were always in jail or something?
It's like they saw you coming around the corner. They start putting stuff underneath the counters.
Yeah. We were, like, the first generation to actually pop out and be, like, normal, like, cool people in society. It could happen. You
it
never
could
know.
Happen.
If you got your 23andMe and you were like, what? I want to hear that story.
Yeah, so do I.
602-894-5653. Camel Nation, you can call us or text us. Hit us up. All right, so Cheyenne found out that she's not completely a mutt. She's got a decent amount of German inside of her.
60%, which is wild.
I heard you and those German boys. Jeremy in Ahwatukee, what's your 23andMe story for us?
Very similar. It kind of more so affects my dad, but we went through our whole lives with him telling us that we were like 100% Vikings, basically.
Oh, nice.
Some Norwegian blood in
Skull!
You.
Yeah, except no. No, not at all.
Wait, what do you mean, except no?
Wait, what?
What happened?
What are you?
We did a 23andMe thing, expecting it to come back with that, you know, Norwegian Viking blood, and it's like 2%.
That's not even enough to get, like, federal credit.
Dude, you guys aren't even Vi or Kings. You guys are just the S part.
So what did it come back as? What is your heritage?
Just like predominantly Irish.
Dude, that is so funny.
That's hilarious.
Does your dad deny that? I bet he denies it. My dad would totally deny it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He'd be like, no, that computer system is wrong. I am Greek.
They messed up my DNA with somebody else.
That is definitely his take. He was devastated at first, and now he's just like, they can't. That science is wrong.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
Well, you know what? He probably shouldn't have ruined it for him. Just let him go on thinking he's a king of the Vikings.
1,000%.
I don't think it's changed his thought that he is one iota. So again, he's blaming the system. No, he's not believing it.
This is Nico and Cheyenne.
Camel Country 107.9.